Welcome to Worldview Finder. Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to Worldview Finder. We look at all the current events of the world today, whether it's media, news, movies, games, songs, or celebrities. We dissect the worldview these sources have in our lives. Everything pushes a worldview, so join us as we each find our view on this week's Worldview Finder.
Well done, lads. Well done.
All we did was survive.
That's enough. Hey, everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm Adrian.
And I'm Luke.
Welcome to Worldview Finder, episode 108. We did it. We passed the 100s. Adrian, welcome back.
Hey.
I feel like you haven't been here in a while.
I haven't. I think it's just been the summer.
Yeah, you haven't been here in the summer. We did a Fort Wayne podcast. And this summer's been sporadic for all of us. So I was on vacation last week. So there's just been a lot of craziness going around. So we want to say thank you for sticking with us through the summer. We've actually gone up in listenership over the summer. So maybe... Just kidding. Because you weren't there.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, right.
No, so if you're new, this is your first time listening, thank you. We'd love to continue the conversation on our Facebook page, Worldview Finder. So you can just type in Worldview Finder, and it'll come up. So, but don't type in the Worldview Finder, because that's something different. But there's Worldview Finder, and it's a picture of some guy that we don't know. So,
it's a cool graphic.
Yeah, but welcome back. Summer school starting up in next week, so I think we'll be back in the normal swing of things. So thanks for listening. If you could, we would love it if you could go to the podcast page and leave a review, because that helps. Like, that gets us a lot of money. Just kidding. We don't get paid for this. We get no money. So, Luke, what have you been listening to or watching or playing or reading?
I got a new book called The End of Poverty. Oh. Technically, I've not read anything about it.
Well, you read the...
I read the title, and I was like, why haven't we all read this book? Why haven't world leaders read this book? Because
probably it's not good.
Or maybe it is. Maybe I found the book. Okay, so I'm going to read this and tell you all about it in time. Rick and Morty, I watched that. It's a crazy show. I do know a pastor who has seen all of it. Bryce Palmer, if you listen. I'm just calling out names.
Yeah, I feel like you're calling him out.
Hey, no. The new season is out, so watch it. Price.
So Rick and Morty isn't really appropriate at times, right? I don't know. I've seen one episode that you showed me.
Yeah, not at times, but it's a parody of all things pop culture, so...
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. It makes fun of Doctor Who and... What's that? Back to the Future in every episode, so...
Ooh, what do you think about a woman Doctor Who?
I don't watch Doctor Who.
That's making waves...
And I'm also...
For the Whovilles.
But in the original Doctor Who, there were women doctors.
Oh, were there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
what? People.
I don't understand.
That's just the argument I've heard from, like, true fans. I've been like, well, the original had women, so it's not that big
people
of a deal.
People just want stuff to argue about. That's what the internet's for.
Yeah.
And the last thing I've been watching, YouTube videos of an old man shooting antique rifles. And now I want to go out and buy a Mauser. It's a old rifle from World War II. And they're only like $500. I don't know what the worldview is. he just talks about the rifle, and he shoots it, and that's it.
And there you have it.
They're somewhat, they're just crazy addicting, because you just get to see him, he takes apart the rifle, and he shows you how it works, and he talks about how the history of it, and then he shoots it.
Then he shoots a rifle.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first.
Yeah, it's great. Hickok 45. I can recommend watching it because it is appropriate.
Hey, Elijah Arrieta says hi. Hi, Elijah. Thanks for tuning in. If you're... Wait, I guess if you're listening right now, they can't join the conversation. But if you watch if you listen to this, we also live stream it, so you can check that out on our Worldview Finder Facebook page as well. So... Adrian, what have you been watching all summer?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Luke, well,
quit doing that. Movies, it's loud.
Movies I've seen. I've seen Wonder Woman, Baby Driver, Spider-Man.
Ooh.
And let's see. I started watching. Oh, I saw Lost City of Z finally. I missed it. Then it went out of the theaters, and so I had to wait till it came on DVD.
Was it good?
So.
What?
I feel like
it's supposed to be like real life Indiana Jones, right? Or like what Indiana Jones is based off of?
I think so, but I feel like I missed out not seeing it in theaters.
Oh.
Because it's, everyone says like it's a slow epic. It's not going to be Indiana Jones in the sense that it's like all this crazy stuff is happening.
Right.
So it's more just like a slow burn. It was like beautiful in a way. So that's why I feel like I missed out. But I don't know. I still haven't like super processed it yet because I just saw it this weekend. But I would say it's worth a watch. It's just a guy struggling. It's like, is what's his life purpose? Is it to be a father? Is it to be a soldier? Is it to like his dad basically was terrible and like made their family really low, so yeah. He's like trying to work his way back up into status and stuff. So he gets obsessed with finding this
lost city.
So, yeah, it doesn't wrap up very well either. So just kind of go into that of like, I'm watching the journey, not the destination, which I think is probably the worldview of that. And then I started Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just because I feel like, did a new season just start? Or something.
I don't know.
Because all of a sudden it's getting, I feel like it's getting buzz again.
Okay.
So, just a couple of friends have asked me if I watched it, what do I think, and I realized not too many people watch it that I know of, but the people that do are, like, really followers of it. Okay. Like, love it. So I was like, I'll check it out. So the first episode, it was terrible. I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore, because the characters seemed really cliche and just, like, dumb. But I was like, I've got to get past that. So I watched probably like 4 episodes. And then I was hooked. But I think it's like what Joss Whedon does best is like builds teams of people that have really good dynamics with each other. Okay. So the first episode, you're like meeting them all, but you haven't seen them really interact yet. So once they start interacting and become like getting into a groove, and now they're doing, like, backstories on each one. And so you get really into it. So I would say it's a cross between The Flash and Fringe, if anybody is familiar with those two shows.
I tried to watch Fringe.
Fringe is great.
Fringe is really good. I could watch it. But it's just, like, that kind of science. It, like, it can be explained by science.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, really bizarre stuff that happens. So that happens a lot in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Is it on Netflix, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? It is, isn't
it?
Yeah. Okay, I might have to check it out.
But then there's, like, the team camaraderie and, like, kind of innocence of the Flash kind of group. So, I think it's a good combination. It works.
So Bill Wall gave us a shout-out. He put a tear face and said, I never get to listen live because I'm at work. Have fun.
Aww.
Well, Bill, sorry. So that's Bill Wall. But Bill Green, fan of the show, longtime listener, friend of the show. I got to see him this week, last past week because I went to Chicago where he lives. Went there on a little family vacay, so that's where I was last week. And so we went to, but one night I snuck out of the hotel and we went and watched Baby Driver, me and Bill, because we both wanted to see it. And I have Luke, we were supposed to go and you never went.
You never told me about it.
I know.
We're supposed to go Wednesday night at Fort Wayne and you didn't want to go.
I couldn't leave children. That's different. No, wait, I left my own children.
You would have left Jeff to
leave. Yeah, I know. So I did see Baby Driver. Adrian, you saw it as well.
Yep.
So I like visually and like stylistically and musically, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's bad language. There's violence, but I felt like it wasn't really bloody. I mean, there's just a lot of shooting, but nothing real bloody. But what I didn't like, because one of the questions we ask in the Worldview Machine is, does it portray good as good and evil as evil? And this doesn't. Like, this is one of those, like, he's a, the driver, his name is Baby, he, like, steals stuff. So that's why he's in the predicament in the first place of why he's being the driver for the getaway car for all these robberies is because he stole from Kevin Spacey. So you're like, okay, he's not a great guy, but yet you kind of like him. Like, okay, I'm going to spoil it. So spoilers for Baby Driver.
Spoiler alert, everyone.
I'm spoiling it for you.
Don't worry, I read the synopsis.
Okay, so at the end, he's on trial because they caught him. And they're like, everybody that talks about him, like, well, he's a good person. Like, this lady's like, yeah, he stole my car, but he gave me my purse back. And this other lady's like, yeah, I was going to walk into where they were robbing the place, and he shook his head and said no. And then, like, I shouldn't go in there. And then the other, like, his girlfriend's like, yeah, he's a good guy. Like, they talk about how good he is. We're like, yeah, he robs. Like, he murdered people in the movie. Like, he robbed and killed people, and yet they're like, well, he's a good person. And you're like,
okay, but in defense of that.
Oh, defend it.
No, because I think what they were saying is, like, it was a kid who's been haunted by his early mistakes. So he like, was a bad kid and was, like, making bad choices because, what, he didn't have parents, basically. Or he had a bad father figure or whatever. So,
oh, yeah.
But then that one choice, like, affected him. And you could see the whole movie, he didn't want to be driving. He didn't want to be stealing. He wanted to get out of it. And he was doing all that he could because he said you have to do so many...
Oh, great.
Whoa.
Great.
What is going on? What just happened?
Is the live stream still going?
Well, this is it.
No.
But you know what is still going? The recording.
What? Oh, now it's... Yeah, it's back.
It's back on? Okay, good. Sorry. The phone rang during the middle. Okay. So, wait. So, you think he redeemed it?
Well, yeah. So, he was, like, doing all these things he could. But if he stopped... That was the whole tension of the movie. If he stopped, they were going to kill the girl. They were going to kill his foster dad. Yeah. All this stuff. So he was definitely stuck. But he was, like, doing subtle things to try to not, like, to try to balance that out. And I know it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. But.
I don't know.
That's what the main argument of this movie is like, if you start thinking about the story, then it just, the whole thing unravels and it's not a good movie.
What a great story.
There's no reason that the girl should like him. Like, none. But she does.
Wait, he was nice to her.
Yeah, but he didn't tell her anything about himself and she liked him.
That's true.
And then she finds out why he doesn't tell anything, is that he's stealing. And she's like, oh, but it's okay.
He's a good guy. Yeah. Women.
I know.
He's a good guy, though.
Yeah, I know.
Sure, he's going on trial, but he's a good guy.
So,
but did he do it?
Yeah.
Then it doesn't matter if he's a good guy.
He's the thing.
Guilty.
Guilty.
He went to prison.
Okay, so I also watched Hidden Figures. Have either one of you seen that?
Yeah.
I've heard about it.
Yeah. Okay, so this movie was great. I watched this last night. This one you can watch. There's a few bad words in it, but it's PG. I would recommend this movie.
Yeah.
Baby Driver, I would not recommend. Hidden Figures, it's a drama, but it's about these three African-American women that, like, in, like, the early 60s when they were, like, part of the NASA space program and just, like, the challenges they had to overcome, one as women, but two as black women. Like, it was great. Like, it was really good about, like, how... Like, if you like, what's that show, Big Bang Theory, you might not like Sheldon very much after this.
Because
I haven't seen Big Bang Theory, but he's, like, kind of a nerdy guy. He's
Sheldon to begin with.
Well, then you'll like him even less. But you watch these people and how they deal with racism and all this stuff, and these women that really, like, were very smart and very capable, how they have to, like, deal with just dumb things. Like, it makes you really mad at, like, how stupid people were back in the day. But I'm, like, thinking, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah,
I mean, people are still racist now and everything. But it was like, I mean, she got in trouble because she would leave. He's like, you're gone for 40 minutes at a time. She's like, I had to go to the bathroom. He's like, what are you doing in the bathroom? She's like, well, there's no bathroom for, because I'm going to use the term they use in the movie, colored, because they had, like, colored bathroom or...
Right.
She's like, so I have to go back all, like, half a mile one way to this building to use the bathroom and then half a mile back. And so, and she would take her work with her. Like, she was very good, like, at what she did. But, like, it was very good. And I liked it, too, because it's, like, a good, like, women's power movie. We're going to talk a little bit about Wonder Woman a little bit. But I felt like this movie almost did a better job of, like, giving young girls or women, like, role models to look up to. Whereas Wonder Woman is like, yeah, she's cool, but, like, you're not half goddess. And you're not going to stop bullets with your arm machines. Or whatever. But so I really liked the whole premise of Hidden Figures. It's very good. And, like, the fact that, like, nobody knew about this. It's like one of those stories where right. Like, how did this not come up ever? Like, and so it was just cool that, like, they're telling the story now. So it was very good. So check out Hidden Figures. One more thing, I got to plug this. It's How to Lead When You're Not in Charge by Clay Scroggins. It comes out August 22nd. I have an early copy because I'm part of the launch team for this book. And so I actually got to hear him speak at a conference I went to in February. And so I've been reading this book. I've read the first chapter, so I just got it Friday. So I've been reading through it. But man, it is really good because it's about leadership, but about how we try to wait till we have a position of authority. Like, oh, well, I'm the lead, so now I'm in charge. I'm the boss, so now I can tell people what to do. He's like, no, that's not leadership. He's like, leadership is influence. So you have influence in everything that you do. Luke, you got influence with your sixth grade, or now seventh grade guys group. And so, like, you have influence wherever you are, and so use that influence. Because he's like, I was just waiting to be told what to do by the people above me instead of, like, actually leading and doing what I'm supposed to. So, really good. Should I read a quote from it real quick?
Nope.
Yep.
And we're going on to the next part.
If you fail to cultivate influence when you're not in charge, you'll have no influence to leverage when you are. So, cultivate influence when you're not in charge. It's good. So, so I'll be talking more about that in the days to come because I'm contractually obligated to. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not at all. But I do want to talk about it because it's good, and I get to be part of the launch team of a book, which is cool. I've never done that before. So, I get part of a private Facebook group, and I'm going to put quotes out there and all that. So, I told them why I should be part of the launch team. I said, because I have a podcast. And they said, well, they didn't say anything. They just said, you're on. So, all right. The opening quote from today. Well done, lads. Well done. All we did is survive. That's enough. That was from Dunkirk, which for 2 weeks in a row is number one. The Emoji Movie didn't break it down, which says a lot. Because usually kids' movies, even if they're bad.
Is that a kids' movie?
Emoji Movie?
I didn't know this was a movie out. I had no idea what it was about.
It's about emojis and phones.
Yeah, but do kids really get
that? They made a Battleship movie. Was that for kids?
No. That's for Milton Bradley.
I don't know. What?
They made a cartoon about a hot dog. Is that for kids?
That was not
for kids. I'm just trying to say that I had no idea what to expect with the Emoji Movie, and I still don't know what to expect.
I think it's got 8% on Rotten Tomatoes, so don't expect high. Don't expect much.
Expect the poop emoji.
Yeah, that's what they said. Like the only like jokes are from the poop emoji, so it didn't do well. And then Girls Trip is number three. Atomic Blonde. It was like it didn't even crack the top three. So it's like number four or five, I think. And it opened this weekend.
Oh.
But the plugged in people didn't like it. Like it's just super violent. And they're like, because people are like, oh, it's the girl James Bond. They're like, no, James Bond has, like, wit and, like, kind of style and stuff. He's like, this is just, like, her getting beat up a lot. It's really violent.
So it's like the girl Jason Bourne.
Yeah. It's the girl.
Jason Bourne gets beat up a lot, but he beats people up, too.
Well, it's the same director as John Wick.
Oh. So, that's what I was going to. Yeah. I didn't know that, but I was going to say it reminds you of John Wick, where it's just, like, the movie is really, like, they're motivated by revenge. And they just kill everyone.
They say there's not really any good people in this movie. So, I don't know. I haven't seen
there's it. No good people in John Wick.
Yeah,
and Girls Trip. Man, that's another, like, this is like the third or fourth one. It feels like this year. That we're like one of those terrible, like, female empowerment, like, we can be dirty too kind of movies.
Yeah.
That.
Like, what's the one with the Yeah, The Hangover.
But see, that's why I appreciated Ghostbusters. Because it was clean and funny, and those women typically do some more raunchy comedies, but man, they were so funny in that. So I like Ghostbusters, but I haven't seen Girls Trip or the Emoji Movie. I'm sure one day I'll see the Emoji Movie because my daughter Quincy really wants to see it, but yeah. So, all right, we're going to feed an oldie but a goodie through the Worldview Machine today. Because Adrian, we wouldn't talk about this movie. We were like, no, we can't talk about it until I'm on the show. And then James isn't on the show to talk about it. But that's all right. So
you can't talk about Wonder Woman without a girl.
I know. Okay, so we're going to turn on the Worldview Machine. Bing. Okay, all right.
Powered by Bing.
So we're going to feed the Worldview Machine, Wonder Woman, through the Worldview Machine. Because, all right, so Wonder Woman, first of all, I liked it. It was a good movie.
Yes.
It reminded me a lot of Captain America, though. So I was kind of like, not disappointed in that, but I'm like, okay, this is just like, hey, almost like female Captain America.
They figured out what to do.
Or female Superman.
No.
More like
Captain America is a war movie. Like, yeah. Superman, he, like, flies around and hits people into space. Okay. So, can she fly? Can she fly, Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
She can?
Okay. I don't know, but by the end of the movie.
I think she, like, kind of discovered that at the end.
Oh, really?
She also discovered she was bulletproof at some point. She's like, why am I blocking these shots?
I know. She is bulletproof, right?
It depends on the writer.
Her, like, I thought it was just her, what, sleeves? Or what are they called? Cuffs?
Well, at some point in the comics, she was bulletproof. But then it's like, why do you block them? It's like, it depends on who's writing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. I know that was a great scene in the movie where she's walking through that field, but I didn't like the way that she blocked bullets. Like, okay, there are going to be spoilers for Wonder Woman. It's been out for like 8 months. So, but no, when she's like walking through the field, it's like, she's like, bing, bing. That was sponsored cool. by Bing. You thought that was cool? I just like the, I don't know, it looked cheesy to me, the way she did it.
Getting it out of my face.
Get that corner of her, she had her shield and was like blocking them with a shield. I don't, but just like their little wrist guards, I'm like, okay, how do you get the trajectory of the bullet to like hit the wrist guard just right? I don't know.
Well, what about in Star Wars, they can knock lasers back, the laser beams, they move at the speed of light.
Wait, oh, Kylo Ren? When he, like, stops it?
When they block the lasers and they knock them back in Star Wars with lightsabers.
With their lightsabers.
Yeah.
How would they do that? It's the same concept.
No, I'm not saying blocking bullets is dumb. I'm just saying the way that she did it, it just looked weird to me. But I wish that you missed a perfect opportunity of a good line when he said, that's no man's land. No man goes out there. And she just gone, I'm no man. It's like Lord of the Rings.
I thought that too, and I was like, well, they can't do that because
I just wanted someone to say, we meant man by humanity in general, not
man, woman, and man.
Yeah.
Because a lot of.
Okay. Well, right, first question. What does this portray as the means to happiness?
War.
Love.
Oh. I was wrong.
Well, it depends on which character you go through. Yeah, because, I mean, Ares. So, yeah, Ares, the god of war, he's happy when there's war happening. But mainly, yeah, because she's kind of looking for her purpose almost. Like, she has her purpose, like, to go kill the god of war. Like, that's her purpose.
She kills Ares?
It's her.
Doesn't make any sense. You can't kill Ares.
That's her purpose. She's going out to get rid of him, get rid of war.
Can't, because there's already another god of war.
I know.
Two gods of war, you know that?
No, who's
Athena.
The other one? Oh.
Maybe she'll fight her.
Is Athena her mom?
No.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I'd say love is what they portray as a means of happiness.
Yeah.
Anything else? What gets in the way of their happiness?
Men? Ares, god of war.
War gets in the way.
Yeah, well, so she goes from this island of like, goddesses or like female women, Amazon women that they fight all the time. She goes from that to World War One era of like women oppressed in England. Like she's not allowed in this room or whatever. Like there's all this stuff that like women aren't allowed to speak. All this different stuff, and so she goes into that like, okay, what, like to her it's just this foreign world. Like she doesn't understand the way people do all that stuff. So. Do they portray good as good and evil as evil?
Yes.
They do. Okay, we'll get to that because I'll tell you my favorite part. And so what was your favorite scene and why? So this is what has to do. What was your...
I think I really liked when she flipped that tank.
What?
That was awesome.
What'd she do? I don't remember that.
It was just like... I think she just, like, flipped it up to, like, hide... They all hid behind it.
Oh, okay.
My thing. And it to stop it, too. But she just, like, lifts this huge tank.
Tank woman.
Awesome.
So, my favorite... So, it's the scene where, like, at the end, where she finds out who Ares is, and they're, like, talking, and she... He's like, no, people... He's like, I don't cause wars. He's like, I just whisper in people's ears stuff that they already are thinking about, but I encourage them in that. Like,
yeah,
like all this stuff, because this woman was making this gas that would wipe out all this stuff and kill a bunch of people, even if they had gas masks on, all this stuff. So it's like this kind of crazy idea of, like, people are already corrupt, and he just, like, pushes them further in their corruption. And so... Like, to me, that was, like, a pivotal moment in the movie because she's under the assumption that people are good. And so she's like, well, people are bad because Ares is corrupting them and all this stuff. And Ares is like, I'm not corrupting them. They're already corrupt. And so she's like, oh. And she when she realizes that, she's like, okay, can people be good? It's kind of that thing. And then, spoiler alert, the love interest gets killed. Captain Kirk, no!
He self-sacrifices.
Yeah,
oh. My favorite scene was when she's shell-shocked and she can't hear what he's actually... Well, the audience doesn't hear what he's saying before he leaves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then it does, like, a flashback, right?
Yeah.
Where he says, like, I love you or something. I can't remember.
I don't think he says I love you.
What did he say?
Well, yeah, I don't remember what he
says.
I don't
know. How's that your favorite scene if you don't even know what he says?
Well, no, I like the scene where he's talking to her and no one hears it. You don't know what he's saying.
And you're like, no, this is... Yeah, because you're like, this is a pivotal moment, and she can't hear him. But she does hear him?
I don't know.
We just can't hear because we're shell-shocked? I don't remember.
They do a flashback, and then she actually hears it, but I don't know why she would hear it in the flashback.
Yeah, I think the flashback was what she wanted to hear or something. She heard something that she wanted to hear. I can't
remember. I don't know, but I do remember that scene. It was good. So, what is the worldview?
Well,
come on, what? I say that people are worth saving. Like, like even in our corruption and evilness, we're worth saving. Like that, and this is where, like, I think, like, it presents a biblical worldview, which we're going to talk about in some articles in a minute. But like she realizes that mankind, humanity, because womankind, like humanity is corrupt, and she thought it was good. And they just had an inclination towards bad, but she realizes that they're bad, but then they can somehow have this inclination to good. But they're already, like, corrupt in their own way, but she still wants... But, like, she talks about love at the end. She's like, it's love. Love is what brings us power or whatever. Right. So
it's all good. I mean, it definitely... Yeah, it just pushes that, like, love, mercy, compassion, because there is good in us deep down, or... Like, maybe not, but we're worth saving. So, we'll talk about that when we get into our biblical...
So, what are some discussion points to help engage people in a worldview conversation? So, if like, you've seen this movie, it's coming out on DVD probably next week or something. Not for a while, but once
September.
Once you start having these conversations with people, and they're like, oh, you've seen this movie, a lot of people saw it, did great at the box office. Like, what are some ways that you can help engage people in a discussion about worldview as you talk with them?
And hey, you can be like, see that Wonder Woman film? First, that's...
Pretty good, huh?
You're engaged. And then...
Did you know there are some gospel undertones to that? No. That's what I don't... It's hard to say, like, how to lead people in discussion, but... Without being cheesy.
Oh, yeah. Oh man. Okay, Blake Whitehouse says, Wonder Woman is almost a millennia old and still looks 25. She's been training all her life and does not even have a scratch on her. Her father is Zeus, and she lives on an island full of women that somehow reproduce via clay. Yet all these things you question is her sharp reflexes to deflect bullets.
No,
well played, Blake.
There's a lot of things. First of all, Wonder Woman, the new Wonder Woman, is fathered by Zeus. The old Wonder Woman was not. Fathered by Zeus. She was made out of clay, and the Amazons weren't made out of clay. They weren't reproduced. They were they were. I don't know. They were made.
Okay.
But she was one of the few made out of clay.
Oh.
And then somewhere along the line,
deep lore,
it goes in. I'm just saying, Wonder Woman's been a lot of things. She
yeah.
was the daughter of Hades. She was the daughter of Zeus. It goes crazy.
Okay, so it's very.
We are referring to the movie Wonder Woman.
Yes.
In this discussion. Movie,
so
I don't know why they made her the daughter of Zeus.
I don't know.
I always feel like Zeus is the worst mythological character ever. He causes all the problems for people.
So anyways, so helping people engage in worldview conversation. No, and then, yeah, I don't want, like, the cheesy, like, oh, hey, yeah, you know when,
she came back to life 3 days later.
Yeah.
That's a
like, Jesus. No. But I think, like, finding purpose and stuff, like, I mean, where Aries talks about, like, you know, people being corrupt, like, hey, do you think that all people are bad? Like, do you think all people are corrupt? Because that's a pretty big... Like, that movie makes a pretty big statement. And so, that can open up a conversation just about people's worldview. Like, okay, if people are corrupt, then are they worth saving? Like, that's what she wrestles with throughout the movie. So, like, asking that same question of, okay, do you believe that people are bad and that they need somehow rescued or saved? So, you know, who can save them? Jesus! Yeah, so, there you go. No, but I think it can lead into a deeper conversation just about, is humanity already corrupt? And if so, then why do people do good things?
Who do you let whisper in your ear?
Oh, that's good.
Who are your influences?
Yeah, who do you let see? Good job. Okay, yeah. Let's power down the machine.
Wait, I thought we're gonna go into.
That's
not the worldview.
That's
machine.
Not the worldview machine.
Let's not power down the machine. Let's keep it going.
I turn it off. Okay. All right. So our cousin, second cousin, I always get
something like that.
Some person of relation sent us an article about Wonder Woman and how it says the new Wonder Woman is really a story about Jesus. It was written by a Mormon lady, but it was still a good article about how, like, the story is a story of redemption and.
Oh, attacking the writer of the article rather than the article itself?
I'm not talking to the writer of the article. I'm just saying
that
it's not from a Christian perspective.
You said, the lady's a Mormon, and then you made, like, this laugh, and, like, talk about the article, not...
I'm saying that to say that I believe different stuff than the author of the article,
okay.
And so being from a Mormon perspective, it might be a little bit different than all this. But she does have good points. I'll give her that. So, yeah. But... I don't know, Adrian, do you want to comment on that? Because you...
Well, I mean, the article just talks about the...
Oh, Pastor Dave.
Appearance as usual.
All right, so... Yeah, so the article talks about... Dave, you can come in or you're out.
No,
he's and he left the door open. So
close the door. I'll close the door.
Okay. I'm pregnant. I can't stand that.
What?
I said I'm pregnant. I can't stand
that. Oh, that old gym. Okay.
So, well, it's been a while since I read the article. No, I read it today. It just talks about how Jesus is, like, Wonder Woman, because there's what we've already talked about is, like, she is kind of sent by God, or Zeus,
yeah.
And she goes from her, like...
Paradise
into humanity and war and all this, and then she's tempted by... the Satan figure,
yeah.
God of war, and she ultimately decides that humanity is worth saving. So she saves them, takes it upon herself. So there's definitely some Christian themes in there, but I think we can take it further, say that it's not just Wonder Woman that has these sorts of things. And that's what I want to talk about today, is like what other movies or books or stories also have Jesus figures, and maybe why? Like, why is that such a common thing?
Yeah,
because it's an archetype. It's in stories you have archetypal characters. I mean, let's look at Harry Potter. You can generalize Harry Potter's story, and then change some few key words and put Star Wars in there. Like, there's archetypes in stories.
You can definitely do that with Aragorn.
Can you?
Oh, Aragorn is very much Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just with dragons.
So it's like, I mean, this is where I start to disagree with this lady, because I'm like, well, the Jesus archetype, was he the first of the Jesus story. I mean, he might be a more unique part of it, but there's other stories similar to Jesus that occurred prior to him.
Prior to Jesus?
Yeah. There was the stories of Socrates. The difference between Socrates and Jesus is he didn't come back to life. He stayed dead. But the archetype was Socrates was teaching things to people, and they're like, oh, we don't agree, you're teaching against the state. He's like, I'm not doing any such thing. And they're like, we're going to kill you. And it was sort of a mock trial. Everyone knew he was going to die. And so, I mean, there's archetypes. And I think it's dangerous to be like, everything leads back to Jesus. No, everything is similar, can be broken down to be similar. But I think that's useful to go to talk about Jesus.
Well, I think even before Jesus, there's a story, even though it's in the Bible, it's like the story of the Israelites. And that is basically the story of Jesus, and like we can see us in the Israelites in the desert and all that kind of thing, like getting redeemed. And that was like a huge pivotal pointing to Jesus and like how that is going to happen to us. And so I think, well, I have a article here about what Tolkien said, is that
Tolkien,
well, thank you. I don't know, Tolkien, who wrote Lord of the Rings, which so many Christian themes throughout.
Yeah.
He actually admitted to when he wrote the story originally, he didn't have Christianity in mind. He just wanted to write a story. And then once he like read over everything he had done, he was like, this is the story of Jesus. Why? You know, why did that happen? And
how did I do this?
Yeah. So he said that people sense that such stories point to some underlying reality. So all stories point to some underlying reality. So as we read or watch them, we are being told that the world is certainly filled with danger, sorrow, tragedy, but that nonetheless, there is meaning to things and there is a difference between good and evil. And above all, there will be a final defeat of evil. So, he's saying, like, the gospel story of Jesus is not simply one more great story pointing to the underlying reality. Rather, the gospel is the underlying reality to which all stories point.
We say that, Luke.
I think that's bogus.
You're bogus.
I think that's complete garbage, that what he said. Because not every writer writes stories and are influenced by Christianity.
But do you
that's
think
not
the story?
What he's saying. It's
he. Yeah. Go.
What's he saying?
He's saying the story of redemption is in within all of us because
it's the capital R reality. So no matter what, it's ingrained in us because we're made by God.
I mean, I guess. I mean, redemption is an archetype. It is very common. But I think a lot of people would disagree. Would be like, well, I don't believe in God, but I believe in redemption, and that starts to become weird. You're like, what was the quote again? Because I need to know. Because I heard it a couple times.
The gospel story of Jesus is not simply one more great story pointing to the underlying reality. Rather, the gospel story of Jesus is the underlying reality to which all stories point.
Yeah, I'd have to disagree. He uses the word all. We never use the word all.
Okay.
Okay. Because there are stories that aren't redemption stories. There are apocalypse stories which are like, you got destroyed. I came to watch humanity and I saw they weren't redeemable and I destroyed the planet. There are stories like that.
But when that happens, do you sense, yep, that was it, that was good? Or do you sense like, okay, that happened and that was wrong? Like, that should not have happened.
I guess when I read these stories, it makes me think about this idea of something else coming, these aliens coming to judge the planet. And being like, oh, but I found... It reminds me of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Okay.
Right? It's like, show me one good person in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Would you save it for 50 righteous people? And then like, okay, what about 40? What about 30?
What
like,
about one?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, this book, I actually read a short story recently about this, and the guy found one righteous person. He's like, I guess I won't destroy humanity today. But it's just... what am I getting at? I'm just saying there are stories where he's like, I didn't find that one righteous man, so I destroyed the place. it's not a redemption, it's a destruction. And it shows a different story. I feel like saying all stories are redemption stories.
And who's the bad guy in that story, though?
I don't know. Because it depends on who you're asking. Because someone might come and say, hey, someone might be saying, hey, you judging us, who makes you the boss? Because it might be like an alien. It might not be God. So it's like, maybe you're wrong. And maybe we are redeemable. And so I guess it depends on which story you're reading. Because God can't be wrong. So in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the bad people are the people who are not righteous.
Yeah.
But in the story that I read, the short story about this alien who's interviewing this cop, and he killed every cop, it was weird, except for one. He's like, I guess in my worldview, I was like, this alien's crazy. Who makes him the judge of all humanity? Just because he can blow up the world easily and he can control people's minds. But I don't know who's the bad guy. It's a I don't like.
But you said that yourself just now that the alien was a bad guy.
No, yeah, it depends. It's like who.
So all truth is relative. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, I just gave you an example.
Yeah,
God can't be the bad guy, right?
Right.
But this alien, what if he was God? I don't know.
Well, the story doesn't. That's what Tolkien's saying. The story doesn't end with God destroying humanity. The story ends with God saving humanity.
It was Sodom and Gomorrah. Like, he sent people in to save them.
Yeah.
And they refused.
I get it. So, what I'm saying is that the redemption story, it's too romantic. It's too romantic of a statement for me to enjoy and to find comfort in it, to peace. It makes me uncomfortable hearing that statement.
Redemption story?
Okay. That everything is a redemption story that points to God, because there are terrible stories that aren't redemption.
Let me read you a verse from your favorite book of the Bible, Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. So he set eternity, like I love that, like he set eternity in the hearts of men. Just saying like, that's within us. Like even when like Tolkien writes that, and he's like, I didn't mean to, but just that eternity is set within our hearts. Like it's there within us. He's putting eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So that's a different version, the New Living Translation. But I like that because it's like eternity is within us. Like we have that in our hearts. Like God created us with that in mind. And so I think it's that underlying thing of we want redemption. Like, we know that we may not be worthy of it, but yet we still long for it. We still long for redemption. So, Caleb Fry says, the reality, definitely wrong, save them. I don't know what was the reality. Is that the book that you read? Caleb, I don't understand what you mean, but he says save them. So, so
thanks.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I remember. But, I don't know. I think, like, with that and like with other stories, I mean, I think it's woven in stories that we don't even. I don't know. I think it's there, but at the same time, like, okay, do we just look for it?
Yeah.
Like, do we like? Oh well this is there.
Yeah. Let's think of an example that this like wouldn't apply.
Well, he just said one.
What?
Did you say one where apocalypse stories where Earth blows up?
The Road. Have you read
it? Oh, yeah, I've read The Road. Oh, yeah,
that's a great example.
No, is it? At the end, yeah, have you read it?
I haven't read The Road. I was watching the movie.
No, because at the end of the book, the kid is like, the dad, so spoiler for The Road, the dad dies, but he's like, find somebody that carries the light. And he's like,
the light?
Yeah.
The light is.
That's what he says.
Not dying.
Right, so he finds a family, and he's like, are you carriers of the light? And they said, yes, we're carriers of light. And so he's like, I'm with them. Because everybody else was corrupt and evil, but he found somebody that was carriers of the light. And I'm like, oh, when I read that, I was like, oh, yeah. Redemption. Like, he's finding the light within the darkness. Like, oh.
I don't think that's...
Oh.
When he says the light, I assume it's the will to live.
Same thing. I mean...
How is that redemption?
That's like...
Finding... Because everybody else is killing and destroying, and they're trying to find life and trying to have life to the fullest. Even in the midst of the bleakness of destroyed humanity.
But that goes back to the Hobbes of without civilization, without natural law, life would be shorter or something like that. I can't remember. It goes back to a more philosophical state, but I don't see that as redemption. The light is just the will to live, and
I don't know. I don't think it is, though, because he says find carriers of the light. He didn't say find people that are alive or trying to live. He says find carriers of the light. I don't know if that's the exact phrase, yeah, but something along those. Yeah, but so find somebody that's like trying to live and not just survive. But
that's pointing to the reality of he's finding people that have the will to live, like eternal life,
to be better and not just. Because all the people they meet are like trying to kill them and eat them and
yeah, but those people are irrational at that point,
right? But the people he finds are good people. He's like, find good
because
people,
they understand
carriers of the light. They because
maybe they understand that if I have, I can't do everything.
Your argument.
They have right? redemption.
Failed.
Yeah.
No.
Well, give me another one.
Let's do this.
The people. The problem is the people.
We should ask our listeners are right. In yeah.
The question is examples. The problem is the people who do all the killing and stuff. Aren't thinking rationally, because if they kill their neighbor rather than trade with their neighbor, they're actually losing out in the long run. And so trade is actually more beneficial for the selfish man. So that's why they're not killing people.
Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, there's plenty of examples.
I mean, there's, like, tragedies out there and stuff. Yeah, but
a lot of tragedies. Romeo and Juliet. What's Hamlet. Redemption?
Yeah, I mean...
What about...
Oh, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern and Hamlet. Oh,
what about... Here's one that I just want you... Have you ever seen The Mist?
I think our cousin's in that movie, right?
Oh, no, we always talk about that. The Fog.
He's in The Fog? Okay. Yeah.
The movie, spoiler, at the end where the father has four shots in his revolver, and there's five of them, and there's a bunch of monsters around, and so he's like, what are we going to do? Our car stopped. And like... I guess we're going to kill ourselves after a couple days. And so he shoots all of them except for him. And then 10 minutes later, the army comes, like, wipes out all the monsters, and he's just left there and just killed the people he loved. What about that? And it ends with that. Where's the redemption in that? He just, like...
Yeah, I would say horror stories are horror for a reason.
But the whole story...
But it leaves you empty, right? You're like, okay, that's not how it should have been.
No. It was the best ending. I thought it was great. I thought the fact that he just killed his family was the best part of that movie. I mean, there were some crazy things that happened, because it was like apocalypse type surviving in a grocery store for days.
Bill Green is going to love this episode.
There were cults. I'm just saying, redemption's not the only archetype. There's tons of other ones.
No, I know, but there's a longing for redemption. So, like, when you see that, like, you laugh in the irony of, like, this guy just killed his family, and now he has to live the rest of his life. You said you enjoyed it. Yeah, you were like,
when he did that, I was like, okay, I probably would have done that. And the irony of, I mean, if the movie had just ended with him sitting, and it just ended, it would have been the same ending to me, basically. But showing that the army...
Yeah, but when the army shows up, you're like, oh, he has an incredible loss in his life now, because he just killed his family.
Oh, he has worse than a loss.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he so survived saying, like, and they didn't. He didn't killed kill
that's, just his family.
You say that's
there was
not
two
fair.
Other people.
Oh. Like, yeah, but you realize that there's, like, something wrong with that ending.
They chose to die, though, actually. Okay.
Right, but well, I'm saying there's redemption. Let's
move on, because this is just going in the circle.
Okay.
I could think of... other films.
I know, but
I could think of stories like...
The point is, Luke...
Berserk, which is a story about a guy becoming a demon. That's not much of a redemption story at all. It's a manga.
All right.
Manga, all right.
So, continuing on.
Yeah, but, I mean, you mentioned Harry Potter, and I would love to talk about that, because we'll talk about it later, though. All right. What... Are you guys looking forward to coming up? This is a more serious episode today. I like that discussion, though, because... All right, go to the World Viewfinder page on Facebook. So facebook.com/...
Yeah, we'll post links to all these articles that we've been talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll also ask if you can think of examples to fulfill Luke's argument.
There are... You'll
Or... If there's movies you want us to talk about.
I know not every story has a redemption
element.
But in those movies, leave feeling into like that's why you like at Hamlet, you're like,
what about Jurassic Park?
Oh, this is a tragedy. Oh, Jurassic Park.
Where's the redemption element?
Beautiful.
Who redeems themselves in that movie?
Wait, Jurassic Park or Jurassic World?
Jurassic Park.
Man, it's been a while since I've seen it.
God but, created man. Man.
Yeah, well, it's about how, yeah.
Creation.
That's not redemption,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, but it's about how like, the creator knows better than the creation. And so how God created the world in his image and, like, created it to be like this. And, like, man comes
is
in.
Is that redemption?
And woman hair.
Quit changing. All right, you guys, you're changing the goalposts on me every 5 seconds.
No, we're not.
To say, you just don't get it.
No, if you're about to say there's redemption stories, there's creation stories, there's fall stories. The fall of man is one of the most, like, common archetypes ever.
Okay, so.
They're all based in a reality. And where does that reality come from? The gospel.
I guess they're based in reality, yes. But that's changing the goalposts again. I'm talking about the statement that they're all redemption stories. And
I don't think that statement was ever made.
Hey, Melissa, Dorothy, and Zach just joined us. Hello. Thanks for joining. Okay. As we're wrapping up, all right, so... Okay, so you're saying that there's other stories...
Yeah, there's creation stories, there's...
Okay, I'll give you that, but...
There's
But ultimately, the fall it points story back to that we need a savior. We need saving from something. I think.
Okay, that's a different statement, and I would probably agree with that.
What?
To say, oh, we all need a savior, maybe, yeah.
But so within that, there's redemption. Okay, whatever. All right.
Look.
What are you looking forward to?
Gosh, they might point to saying,
I'm going
to
shoot a bottle rocket in your face.
Your eye.
Shh.
I know. Okay, what
redeem this story.
To? What are we looking for?
Can I slap you in the face? Like,
I'm looking forward okay. to people understanding that not every story is a redemption story. Okay? It's like saying every parallelogram is a square.
Well, no one said that you just came to that conclusion on yourself.
Yeah.
All squares are parallelograms, but not all parallelograms are squares.
All Helms are arguers, though.
Amen.
But not all arguers are Helms.
That is true.
So
all
right. It's the same. Same.
Yo.
Not all stories are redemption stories.
Adrian, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to The Dark Tower.
Bum, bum, bum.
She's going to read all eight books.
Yeah.
All 4,000 pages.
On the waiting
pages.
List at the library to read
everybody's
the
reading.
First one. But this is solely based on the fact that Idris Elba,
love that man.
Catches bullets out of the air with his gun.
I know that.
Shoots it. When I saw that scene, I was like, I'm definitely seeing this movie for that reason only.
I don't care if there's some weird parallel universe that are taking over Earth.
Right. So, I'm looking forward to that.
All right.
Which comes out this weekend.
Luke and I are looking forward to the same thing.
Yeah. Okay, so this is why I'm mentioning it. Because I saw Thor Ragnarok trailer just the other day, the extended one. And it looks great. I think it's going to be the best Thor by far, because Thors aren't that great.
Yeah, I was like, it doesn't have too much.
Well, the first one was good. The second one wasn't.
The second one just...
was terrible.
At some point, I was just like, what am I... The second one, I just wasn't sure what was going on.
Yeah.
I was like, there's this red liquid thing. I can't even remember who's the bad guy. All I remember is that Loki got stabbed, and he, like, came onto the throne, and he was like, ha-ha, I tricked you guys. I'm actually alive.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah. Dark World was weird. I don't know. Ragnarok.
I don't even remember who the bad guy is. I'm not joking.
It was Loki.
No, there was an actual bad guy who wasn't...
Oh.
It wasn't Loki. Loki helped them out.
Captain Underpants. I don't know. Okay.
That's how unmemorable this is.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Thor Ragnarok as well. I'm also looking forward to keep reading How to Lead When You're Not in Charge by Clay Scroggins, available in bookstores on August 22nd. So, hey, they're going to get their money's worth with me. Actually, they didn't give me any money. They gave me a free book, though. Retail value? I don't know. Uncorrected proof. So maybe when we correct it and send it back. So, yeah. All right. Hey, thanks for listening to Worldview Finder, episode 108. I'm Chris.
I'm Adrian.
And I'm Luke.
And we will see you next time. Magic.
Thanks for joining us on Worldview Finder as we dove into some awesome topics. Just because we talk about a specific source or worldview does not mean we endorse them or the product. So use discernment about what you take in. Have an awesome week and see you next time. Welcome to Worldview Finder.